Well, will you pray for us and open the meeting, and then we'll continue.
Dear Father, thank you for this night, Lord, and thank you for giving us everything you give us to come to the church tonight, Lord. We're over the number, bless us and keep us, Lord. Give us only a word, the words that you want us to hear, Lord, and write them on our hearts, Lord. We've asked for a brown number of Stephen Pat, Lord, and we have Stephen Hill, right in part, and keep us safe and well, Lord. We've also Lane Frank, keep us safe, Lord, and bring them just to the point down, especially Hill, Frank as well, Lord. And Lord, and we have as well, Lord. We have all churches and congregations and gatherings are Christ-centered, Lord, that we may bless those also throughout the world, Lord, even though they're yet to open the doors to the public, Lord, and to all the people, Lord. And we have the ministers that we know of and support, Lord. We have Foxes, the Haines, the Cullens, the Aspis, the Salis, Lord, and also others as well, Lord. We have them also, Lord. See so say, Lord, and people brought back to you, the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. See so mighty and powerfully. We're the transfer of the doors. Yesterday, Lord, you used the wonderful use your spirit, Lord, to find those that are lost, Lord, and see so mighty and powerfully. Your barns come to live in the gospel, give them unction from the Holy Spirit, Lord. Guide through the word, Lord, and give us a blessing night and start our week off with the Lord. Thy honor for my glory, Jesus Christ, the King.
Let's start in the black book with number 11. Good old hymn. We like those. And number 11, the more invisible God only wise.
Thank you. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountain of Samaria, which are named chief of the nations, whom the house of Israel came. Pass ye on to Calme and see, and from hence go ye to Hamath the Great. Then go down to Gath, the Philistines. Be they better than these kingdoms, or their border greater than your border? Ye that put far away the evil day, and cause the seat of violence to come near, lie upon beds of ivory, and stretch themselves upon their couches, make the lambs out of the flock, and the cattle in the midst of the stall. A chant to the sound of the viol, and invent to themselves instruments of music like David, and drink wine and bowls, and love themselves with the chief ointments. But they are not great for the affliction of Joseph. Therefore now shall they go captive for the first, and go captive, and the banquet of them that stretch themselves shall be removed. Lord God has sworn by himself, saith the Lord, the God of hosts, I have borne the excellency of Jacob and his palaces, therefore will I deliver up the city of all that is therein. As it comes to pass that there remain 10 men in one house, that they shall die, and a man's uncle shall take him up, and he that burneth him to bring out the bones out of the house, and shall say unto him, that is by the side of the house, is there yet any with thee? And he shall say no. Then shall he say, hold thy tongue, for we may not make mention of the name of the Lord. For behold, the Lord, whom he commandeth, he will smite the great house with breaches, and the little house with clefts. The horses run upon the rock, but won't plough there with oxen. For ye have turned judgment unto God, and the fruit of righteousness unto hemlock. Ye which rejoice in the thing of God, and say, have we not taken to us horns by our own strength? For behold, I will raise up you against your nation, who has the results of the Lord God of hosts, and they shall afflict you from the entering of Hemath unto the river of the wilderness. Amen.
Thank you.
Excellent verses there. Talks about woe to them that are ease in Zion, who can just take and lie about and invent music and, you know, goodness. People talking about having a really easy life whenever they should be busy about the Lord's work, but we appreciate that. Even though that was written maybe 25, 2600 years ago, it still applies today just as much as it did back then. Right. We have a thing. We were up at the Crescent Link today, and as I was finishing off, I was saying to the people, look, if anybody wants to ask us any questions or talk about this in their own homes, you boil the kettle and I'll bring the buns, discuss whatever you want. And even as I was saying that, a wee woman pulled up beside me in the car and handed me two boxes of, it says, scrumptious strawberry and cream sundaes, or blissful black currant sundaes. And I just had to stop and laugh. It was the wee woman that gave us sweets or something one time before. I think she goes to a charismatic church, just so happy that someone's up there preaching the gospel. So guys, we can't eat them. I can't do the cream. Nobody rang to invite me to their house. So I have only two options. So if either of you two men want either the strawberry sundaes or black currant sundaes, or you want them both, take them. They're there, and think of us fondly.
I
want
the strawberry.
They're both good. They're both really nice, but take them and enjoy them with our blessing. And would you believe there was even a wee Roman Catholic woman came up and says, I admire what you do and trying to get people to think about God. And she came over and chatted for a minute or two, completely lost, but she knew that there was definitely a need for the gospel. We had one person in a car do a long beep. In other words, I didn't agree with you, but started beeping beside me and then beeped the whole way around to where Nero's was. And a few others do the short beeps, and we got a few thumbs up. So, and we had good weather, even though it was a bit cooler, didn't need a coat on. So it all went very, very well. Please do pray for everybody that heard. For the people, we didn't make mention really of the tracking that we had done yesterday. Will and I got out and we were, there was a lot of boot leather hitting a lot of concrete and tarmac up around the trench road. We got a fair sized housing estate all tracked within about an hour and a half. We still haven't heard from anybody up around there, but people are getting a chance. We appreciate the prayers. There's a lot to pray about. If you ever find yourself wondering what to pray about, I want to tell you that just about every house in Derry has had a leaflet through the door by ourselves. In your house, housing estates maybe only once, but the established housing estates over the last 25 years have all been tracked 2-3 times just by Bethel. And we know that there are other churches that are going around and putting leaflets in door and in through doors. Just pray for those. The Lord knows where those leaflets are, and He knows the people that need to hear them. I used to wonder why there was so little response, and the answer that I came up with, inspired by God or just a fancy, was I might not need them now, but the Lord can hide those in between a book or in a drawer until such a time as things get that bad that they. Everything else has failed them or abandoned them, and the only thing left is God, and they pull out that wee piece of paper and get saved. You might not see the benefits of it now, but as long as folks get saved, that's what we want. I think that's about that. Please do pray for Steve. I rang him up there about 4:30, 5:00. He sounded a lot better than he had. His voice certainly seemed a bit stronger. He didn't sound as washed out as he did yesterday. Still not 100%. He's in for dialysis tomorrow, so tomorrow will be a new day for him. But I'm hoping to see him again on Tuesday afternoon, and I'll give you an update then on text or in the service. But just pray for Steve as the day goes on and you find yourself at a loose end, just for a minute even. Just pray for Steve. Pray for Steve. The people that lifted me up in prayer, I do believe, saved my life. Like the four guys that let the cripple down through the roof, there were people bearing me up the whole time, and Steve needs that too at this particular time. So please do pray for Steve. And don't forget to pray for yourself. Pray for each other. Talk to God about the things that may seem impossible to you, and even whenever hard times are coming your way, keep your eyes on God and do the right thing. I'm going to ask you to pray for us as well, because just found out that my mechanic has stopped answering any of my calls and refusing to honour the work that he did on the Turan, and so we are a car down. £700 out of pocket, and he's refusing to take any account for it. So his name is Sean McCallion, that's Stan's brother-in-law, and just do pray about that situation too. It's very easy to want to go around and have him a slap, but I know that the Lord can sort those things out. I wouldn't do it, I wouldn't go around and do that, but I certainly feel like it. It's very disappointing whenever you treat people right to be treated like that. And leaving that out there, because I want to see what the Lord is going to do to him or do with him. I'd love for him to get saved, but if he's going to refuse to get saved, I'd love to see what the Lord's going to do. And I know we all have situations like that in our own lives. Just pray about it. There could be a lightning bolt coming and you don't want to be standing anywhere within 15 foot of them when that lightning bolt hits. So please do pray. I'd appreciate your prayers in that regard. Right. Going to sing another song. Let's grab our hymn books. 413. We have another hymn pick there. 1, 2, 3, rather. It's up to me to pick the other two. Guys, I can work for it. That's the word of function. I've nearly done my 2 hours in a week by this time on Sunday evening.
Mark, you want to sit down for this one?
We'll get the tip-ex out and we'll put that sit down for Jesus. Yep, we'll stand for that one. On Will's exhortation, we'll stand for that. Stand up for Jesus. Song 414 to the tune of 413. There you go. That's just amen. My pick then, we're going to turn to, I think it is 66. Hymn number 66 at Calvary. Hymn number 66. Let's sing this and then we'll close our hymn books and open our Bibles.
Caring not, my Lord was free.
Psalm 2 as well, but I just wanted to have a look at Psalm 1, and I wanted to see and just have a look and have a peruse up and down the Bible on the subject of hope. As we were chatting, so much of our conversation these days is about all of the things that are going wrong. We are just coming out the other side of an engineered pandemic. We are going into very uncertain political times with a so-called Christian-based government that are ardently pursuing a nuclear war with Russia. That is Britain and America. There are many factions within those governments that literally want to start a nuclear war with Russia, turn Ukraine into the biggest glass factory in the world. And these are the days that we live in. And I want for you to understand that it is not beyond reason. That you might say there was never a nuclear war mentioned in the Bible. Some people point, I think, to a few places in possibly Isaiah where it speaks of things that are the results of nuclear war that were unfortunately seen in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Yeah, there already has been a nuclear war. There could be another one. Nothing is for sure. Except that if you trust Christ as your Savior, you will go to heaven when your life is over, and you can have God as your helper and guide, as your strong right arm, your confidant, anything, your provider in this world, if you do, if you accept Christ as your Savior. And I want just to have a wee look at some of these things. Psalm 1 talks very personally about God's relationship to man, and especially to the man that has trusted God, and comment about those that don't at the very, very end. If your Bible has a thumb index, you might want to look out Matthew at this particular time as well, because we are going to have a look at Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes on top of all of that. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Amen. We're going to have a look at all of that, just blow by blow for a few minutes, and hope that it will be a help in the subject of hope to you this evening. Let's have a wee word of prayer, and then we will continue. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for this little bit of time that we've set aside, this shelter in time of storm. Thank you, Father, that you love us and that you're very, very patient towards us. Thank you, Lord, so very much for everybody that's here this evening and for those that get the opportunity to listen online or on the CD. Lord, you know the times in which we live because you put them in your word. We live in the days when Christians are hated. We live in the days when good is called evil. We live in the days when the worst of society is elevated to the greatest of heights. You said this was going to happen. For years we preached about it and thought and watched it happen in other countries, but now we get a wee bit of a dent or a gunk whenever it's happening to us, to our own country. We know, Lord, that you said whenever you see all these things come to pass that we should look at, that we should consider you. And we lay, Lord, our prayer requests at your feet. We lay, Lord, our hopes and aspirations and ambitions at your feet, Lord. And we want to do things your way. We would love to see miracles and people see it, even in these last of the last days. All the people that have had a leaflet, a tract, or a conversation, Father, about their eternities. We would love, Lord, we would petition you, we beg you, Lord, that you would remind people of these conversations, that you would put the pieces together in their hearts and minds. Just pray specifically this evening, Lord, for Frank, for his recovery, for Lynn and Dr. Shank, for Colin, wherever he is and whatever he's up to. Please, Lord, don't be done with him, Lord. Teach him, I pray. We pray you too for Steve. I know he's having a rough ride right now, but we know, Lord, that he's yours and he resides in the palm of your hand. We would pray for his continued presence in this earth until they come again. Please be with Pat as she tells him. With Norman, with his legal issues, Lord, and with Will, with work and home, and with Monica and myself, and all the things that we have in front of us, especially this deal with the McCann. Lord, we love to see you work in the world, Lord. If you need to work through our lives, well, so be it, Lord. We pray for your will to be done. Let us always remember that when you're for us, who can be against us? And all things will work out for the best when we do things your way. Help us, Lord, always to lean on you, not on our own understanding. Father, we love you and praise you. We pray, Father, that you would deliver the needs of every single saved soul as they listen to the preaching and teaching of your word from whatever part of the Bible. Lord, that you would strengthen and encourage and exhort each and every one of us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you most of all for your Son. And I pray your good hand upon us now, Lord. Looking forward to seeing you face to face and leaving all our cares and worries behind. And we leave all these things at your feet, Lord. I pray that you would grant them according to your will. Amen. Amen. I have heard many times that people get a great sense of comfort from the Psalms. And yes, they were written mostly by David, and some of them were written whenever he was riding high, the crest of a wave. Others were written whenever he was being chased by Saul, and he was in fear even of his life. Others were written when he was chastened of God, and others were written whenever other enemies were coming at him, and it almost seems like the Psalms were the places where he poured out his heart to God, and also a record of the times that God answered his prayers. But I want you to remember that God is no respecter of persons, and unless it was a specific promise, the general promises and prophecies that God makes to whosoever, whosoever means you and me, personally, as individuals. I want to begin with, blessed is the man. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Before we go any further, you need to know that this is talking about a saved soul, a man that trusts in God. Because you don't get blessed, you don't get saved by your own works, and you improve once you are saved by your works, but you don't get saved by your works. This is talking about men of God, people of God. So, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You're not blessed because you don't do something, you are blessed because you're doing the right thing. In this case, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, but rather he is walking in God's counsel. He is listening, not to the world, but to the word of God. And that's a tough one to follow.
Because let's be honest, living in this world can be tiring. When you're, everything you see that's going on is like, it's like rubbing a carrot against a grater. And every time you rub shoulders with the world, it seems to rub you away a bit. It seems to wear you down. And then, of course, you've got the things going on in your life, and they wear you down as well. And then maybe you just happen to have a special little piece of opposition, and it wears you down as well. We need every single blessing that God can send our way. We need every single help that God can send our way. We need every single one of His commandments and statutes, not all at the one time, but at various times in our life. But it's good to know what they are before the time arrives. But God says, blessed is the man. In Matthew chapter 5, and I just want to read the Beatitudes here. Matthew chapter 5, there's about 7 or 8 verses. You're going to know them when I start reading them. Keep your hands in Psalms as well. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You are not blessed because you're poor in spirit or mourn or anything like that. You are blessed because you're saved and yours is the kingdom of heaven. Because you can be comforted when you mourn the loss of a loved one. Whenever you understand that because you were meek enough to bow the knee to God and ask Him to forgive your sins, that you shall inherit the earth. Because you, as a Christian, you can be satisfied with the preaching of the cross, with the statutes of God rather than the pleasures of the world. That you can show mercy because you have been shown great mercy in your salvation. That you will see God someday because not of the pureness of your own heart, because you've been made pure by Jesus Christ. You're a child of God. Should be a peacemaker between God and man. It should be your aim when you meet a lost soul, not to overtly beat them around the head with the Bible, but to at least point them in the direction of the cross. Did the angels not say when they came down, I think it was in Luke chapter 2, glory to God above and peace on earth, goodwill towards men from God, because God wants peace with us. Does it not say at the end of John 3, the wrath of God abides with the lost man? I don't know about you, but it gets weary in being angry. Do you think God wants to be angry with people? He wants peace with them. On His terms. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. If you get a hard time for being a Christian, you'll know about that. But that's why the kingdom of heaven belongs to you. And someday you'll be there because you're saved. Whenever you start preaching the gospel, you will find that people are not that keen on it mostly. Thankfully, I think we had a good day today. We had one naysayer, quite a few thumbs up, a few short beeps, which is a good thing. That's car horn translation. Put it into Google Translation. One beep, one short beep equals people are happy with you. One long beep means people are not happy with you. It's a bit like the beep codes on your computers whenever they start to fail. It's talking about saved people. It's talking about people that trust in God. And this is what God says we shouldn't be doing. We shouldn't be listening to what the world, the flesh, and the devil says when it comes to living our lives. you take the message of the world, this is what it is. Drinking is an okay means of relaxation, a winding down at the end of the day, and you should be comfortable in a pub. That's what the world says. Casual physical relationships are a completely normal way of expressing our feelings towards other people. I'm trying to think what else. I think there's one more or two more. But those are two of the things that the world says are okay. We know they're not right. We know the damage that drinking does to the body, mind and soul. We know the damage that casual physical relationships cause to people's psyche. We are not designed for casual relationship after casual relationship after casual relationship. It hurts a person. It hurts a person in a way that you can't see on their body, but you can see in their lives. God says we should be walking in His counsel. It also talks about standing in the way of sinners, and we shouldn't be doing it. We should be standing in the way of the righteous. In other words, we are not to throw our lot in with the world. You ever hear the old saying, you've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. Whenever something bad pops its head up above the parapet, we should stand against it, not for it. And the Bible says we should not be standing with abortionists. We should not be standing with the LGBTQI, whatever else other letters. What is it now? Minor attracted persons, P for short, pedophile. We should not be standing with those people. Not because they're sinners and they're beneath our notice, but because they're going the wrong way and they will drag you down with them. Evil communications, corrupt your manners. We shared with you how a so-called Christian church, and it's not Monica, it's a much more liberal, in quotes, distant member of Monica's family, belonged to a church that had a day of mourning when Roe v. Wade was overturned. We are going to save your children from the most wicked people in the country. And the church is going to say, no, we don't want to save our children from the most wicked people in the country. We want them to die at their hand. You would think you'd stolen their sweeties. Honestly. This is what happens when Christians stand in the way of sinners. You don't cast your vote against the Lord or against the statutes of the Bible. You don't do that. God will bless you when you stand for good things. Can you imagine going back to no Sunday opening? I think half the world would lose its mind. But we have nowhere to go on a Sunday. I have a suggestion. How's about you meet with your God and figure out which way your life's going? You don't need that. And I'm going to tell you why as a Christian. God will sort you out for that, and not in a good way. Not in the way that a man owes another man money, but in the way a man sorts another man out outside behind the building whenever there's an argument to be settled. And God's not going to come off second best, let me tell you. We are also called not to sit in the seat of the scornful. We are supposed to be supporters with words and with deeds of the gospel. I wonder how many Christians, or where these many Christians got their ninja stealth powers to be able to hide their Christianity and sit with all the drunkards, the liars, the thieves and the profiteers, and all the while acting against God's people. And direct contravention to his teachings. God says when you are not doing these things, when you're doing literally the opposite of these things, I'll bless you. And I want to tell you, I searched for half an hour for a good message. I thought, you know, we've got a history. We'll go back and we'll look at the Old Testament. And I was reading in Ezekiel, and it just looked to me like God was... You ever see the old pictures of the schoolmaster bent in the cane to make sure that it was going to give a good, it was going to leave a wee red mark on some poor students behind? That's what it reminded me of. God was quite literally ready to beat the living daylights out of Israel. Because they continually refused. I was reading the book of Kings and the book of Chronicles, and such and such a king did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. And God made sure he came to a sticky end. But he dragged a lot of people down with him. The Bible says we shouldn't be like that. We need a wee taste of hope. And I came for this and I was reminded immediately of the Beatitudes. And then I just started reading on. This is God's promise to every saved soul. It's not to the lost man, it's to the saved man and woman and child. The delight of a Christian should be in what God says. Thank goodness I do not believe that children should be killed in the womb. I can understand there's maybe a fraction of a percent of instances whenever a mother's life is in jeopardy. A fraction of a percent. That should not be the exception. It proves the rule, but it isn't the rule. If there is a child conceived, it should be allowed to go full term and it should find a home with a loving mother and father. Not two fathers, not two mothers, a loving father and mother. Someone to give it what it needs to forge its way through this world. Our delight should be in the law of the Lord. When God says no about something, we should be saying, amen. God says no. We shouldn't be drinking. We shouldn't be smoking. We shouldn't be sleeping around. We shouldn't be doing drugs. We should be out of church when the doors are open. The Bible says we shouldn't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We should be committing the Lord's word to our hearts and minds and letting it do its work in there. It's like a battery. It's like those buns. They're not going to do you any work looking at, any good looking at them like that. They're only going to taste good when you get a cup of tea or a cup of coffee and have a nibble or two when you install them. It's the same with the scriptures. We should love it. It's a little bit like going from tea to water. Tea or coffee or Coke or lemonade or whatever combination of chemicals Tesco's puts in their diluting orange and go into water. Well, it might taste good, the rubbish, but after a while that stuff's going to make you sick, let me tell you. That is going to sicken you. We should not be delighting in this beautiful taste of this, whatever it happens to be. We should be thanking the Lord for pure water and saying, that's so much better for me, and I will develop a taste for it. Somebody will say water has no taste, but you know what I mean. Whenever I come out of hospital, I looked at the water and I thought, oh my God, I'm going to have to drink water instead of all the tea I used to drink. And then I remember them saying in hospital, you need to drink more water, Mark. Every single cup of water I had to make a new go. They were happy when I drank water. It was good for me to drink water, and it's still good for me to drink water, and I drink an awful lot more water than I used to drink and an awful lot less tea. We should delight in the law of the Lord. We should meditate, it says. Think about the things that God says. That means apply them to our lives. It's hard to get that started. And sometimes, I think I was saying this morning, do you know when the most blessed times will be had in your Christian life? Not when you feel like reading the Word of God. But not when you feel like saying your prayers. But when you don't feel like saying them, when you don't feel like reading, and you just say, I can see your fingerprints on that, you devil, you Satan, trying to turn me off of the Bible. I'm going to read it anyway. And even if I only remember three words out of the whole thing, I'm going to read it on principle. I'm going to read it to build a habit. I'm going to pray to talk to the Lord because I should. And it might be nonsense, but I am going to enjoy the presence of God and not the old devil making me feel like something else. I'm going to ask you a question. Is there anybody here who doesn't want to go to heaven? Is there anybody here who doesn't want the company of God for the endless ages of eternity? Because it's going to be so cool that you'll never get over it. Does anybody here not want to see the Jesus Christ that gave his life on the cross for you? Do you not want to see the Holy Spirit that spent his whole life with you trying to point you down the right road? We should be seeking him out now in our lives. And God says he will bless you. I was just thinking on a wee verse that was in the book of Matthew. When the Lord was talking to the scribes and the Pharisees. And he said, all you scribes and Pharisees, you give your kids good stuff. You give them bread and not a stone. You give them fish and not a serpent, a poisonous serpent. You give them an egg and not a scorpion, don't you? And they said, well, of course we do. They're our children. We love them and we want them to do well. And Jesus said, well, how much more do you think your Father, which is in heaven, wants to give his children good things too? And he has a bunch of stuff for us. It's not a new laptop or a new car or a new home or a new suit. It is things that get installed straight into you, into your heart, into your mind. It builds your character, your strength, your grit. It puts, someone once said, iron in your blood and grit in your craw, and puts a steel rod up your back so that you'll stand straight no matter what's coming your way. That's what God wants to give you. So when the world comes towards you with a torrent of this and this and this, you can say, that's all rubbish. I'm standing on the rock. The water will part around the rock, not the other way around. We should not just stand on the rock. We should contend on the rock for the people that are drowning in the water around and about us. What does he say? And this is God's promise. You'll be like a tree, a well-watered tree. And what do well-watered trees do? They produce fruit. They shoot up out of the ground. You know what time of year it is by looking at them. You'll know how well they're doing by the birds that live in them. And you'll know whenever they produce a good crop that it's a well-looked-after tree. Does anyone remember the wee parable in the New Testament where the Lord told of the mustard seed? The smallest of seeds, like dust. And yet it grows into a shrub that's so great that even the birds of the air make their nests in it. In other words, they think it's a tree. That's what God says you'll be like. A tree. A well-watered, a fruitful tree. A tree serving its purpose. And I don't know about you, but I want to serve my purpose here in this world. You might have to get up and look at that flickering light, whatever it's called. And then he says that's not going to be the way of the ungodly soul. I've seen a lot of thuggery and crime and wickedness over the past few years. And good people are remembered fondly. And evil people, they are not remembered fondly. And people don't even want to talk about them except to say they were evil and they got maybe what they deserved. And a lot of people don't in this world, but they will in the next. The Bible says, the ungodly are not going to be blessed. Yes, God may give them a certain amount of what the saved soul gets. You know what the Bible says about the rain falling on the just and on the unjust? There is a certain amount of equality. But God doesn't bless the lost man in the world. He might extend his patience and his long suffering to the lost man in the world. But he's not going to bless him. That's somebody else's kids. God will look after his own family. Whilst the saved man that loves the Lord is like a tree that's well watered and looked after. The Bible says the lost man is like just like dust. The wind will blow and it'll be gone. And as far as the endless ages of eternity goes, that's exactly what will happen. They might make a name for themselves here, and they might live for a little bit of time here, and they might have all the world's good here and now, but they will end up like the rich man in Luke chapter 16. Someday, life will be over. Nobody can win that race. And he'll die, and he'll be buried. And he will open his eyes in hell, being in torments. And he'll not be there more than 3 seconds when he will rue every decision that he made to reject Jesus, to say no to him. He will regret every time he made fun of the Christian. He will be kicking himself for all of the support that he gave to anti-Christian idealism. And he will, I am sure, come across some of the people that suffered at his hands. And not only will he have to deal with the torment in hell, he might have to deal with a broken nose that will be immediately fixed in hell, ready for the next person to come along and punch him in the face or kick him up the backside. The ungodly will be gone. Their names will be struck from remembrance. They will have nothing to do with the New Jerusalem, mentioned in Revelation 21-22. Nothing to do with the glorified that walk the streets of gold. But he will have his mention in Revelation 20, where it talks about the great white throne of judgment, where all the dead, small and great, shall stand before God, dead, not alive, dead in trespass and sin, not alive through Christ forevermore, dead in trespass and sin. They will not stand in the congregation of the righteous. You know that congregation? The one that's going to lift up its voices and praise God. And it will not be a trouble to praise God for an hour or two. And I don't know, have you ever heard some of those big choirs? Has anyone ever heard of the Mormon Tabernacle Choir? They're powerful. Powerful singers. They're all as lost as geese, but they're powerful singers. Imagine 1 million people singing in perfect sync with the same volume of perfect voices. You have your tenor, you have your soprano, your tenor, your alto, and your bass. And you might even have a few more above and a few more below. And everyone will sing their part and it will be perfect. You're not going to find any lost people there. And we are going to enjoy that. There is something uplifting about listening to all of those voices. Praise God. And whenever you're encouraged like that, there'll be nobody saying, hey, my voice is tired, let's go home. Or Mark's withered on for half an hour or 35 minutes and I've heard enough, let's go home. It's not going to be like that. We're not going to need the rest because our sin nature is gone. We've got glorified bodies that will never get old or cold or tired. No sin nature anymore, and we'll not say, oh, when is church going to be over? Not be any of that. All those folks that clung to their sin nature, they're gone. And just in case people think that this is something that nobody knows about, something that's strange, the Lord knows. He knows the end of the saved soul, and he knows the way, the end of the lost soul. I don't know of anywhere that's more plain in the Old Testament than smack bang pretty much in the middle of the Old Testament, where it says, the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. In other words, it comes to an end. We will go on. I don't know what we're going to do. Will we get to paint? Will we get to build? Will we get and certainly be singing and eating and seeing God and meeting up with people that we knew on earth and even people that we didn't know. And we'll listen to their salvation accounts and we'll listen to what they did in this world and be able to share our own experiences with them. Hey, eternity's a long time. And the Bible says there's mansions in heaven. There's going to be stuff to do. There'll be 1,000 years of looking after people in this world, let me tell you, when we come back with the Lord. But friends, there's hope. These things are for us. And even though the world would have you believe that there's no such thing as a happy ending, God says there is. All those who put their hand against God or his family, all they're doing is storing up trouble for themselves in this life and eternity. God looks after his children. We have to remember that this life is not all that there is. There is an eternity. And even in the book of Revelation, it speaks of many of the souls beheaded during the tribulation, calling out for God, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, how long is it going to be before you go back and show those people just exactly who you are? Avenge us." God said, "Just not yet, Abel. Not yet, it's coming. Just not yet." God is long-suffering and patient. Unfortunately, many times we're not. But there's hope. It's not in this world. It's not in anything that you can set your hands to. It's in God. Remember what we... Did I say it this morning? I can't recall if it was this morning or this afternoon. The Lord said, and He gave us all the things to look out for. When you see these things happening, don't be looking at those things. Don't be like Peter, who took his eyes off the Lord and looked at the storm and started to sink. The Bible says when you see these things come to pass, look up. Look to Jesus. Cultivate Him. Pursue God's will in your life. For your redemption draweth nigh. Keep your eyes on the Lord no matter what. Sometimes it's difficult, but it's achievable. There is hope. Thank you for your good time. And God bless you. Now I'm going to suggest them for a closing hymn. We'll sing that and then I will
51 more. We'll never grow old.
Sounds good to me. Number 51 in the big book. Let's stand as we sing where we'll never grow old. I think this used to be one of Billy's favorites. That's exactly where he is. Where we'll never grow old. Let's stand.
Jesus on high.
dismiss us with a wee word of prayer, brother, if you could.
If I reflect the message, Lord, using a harsh word, and experience, maybe experience our lives, Lord, draw us closer walk for me, as we're coming in and are going out, Lord, bless with us as we part of our home to safety, Lord, give us a blessing as well, Lord, give the listeners to this sermon, Lord, with the internet or DVD, Lord, bless them also, mighty and powerful. See us those light and the new thing is we read in the last book of life, see us those mighty, most important is the Lord, that your name may be raised up in the earth as a standard, Lord, and our name rightly and only praised and glory given to a great and holy name, Lord, and thy will be done on earth as in heaven, Lord. Bless us today, Lord, give Stephen us in the hospital, Lord, Mr. Robinson, give us strength, heal him mightily, take away pain, discomfort, heal us infection, Lord, and also give him respite to Pat as well, keep us safe as well, Lord, with calm areas, keep us safe as well. Also, with Frank, heal him, heal process, Lord, from Chris Walkway as well, Lord. See us, Stephen, Paul, and John. And pray for all us throughout this world, Lord, that with the sermons going as well, Lord, our finest, Lord, see souls saved, Lord, mighty and powerfully, Lord, as we start new week and may be Christ centered and glorify thy great and holy name for Jesus Christ again, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Will. Gents and lady, we're dismissed. God bless you. Shake hands and fellowship for a little bit.